Welcome to Believers Faith Fellowship. It's our hope that you will be blessed by the word. For more information about our worship services, please visit bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org.
Condemnation is beating yourself when you've made mistakes. Repenting and confessing is going after sin. So if you feel that, if there's something prompting in your heart that you need to go ask somebody for forgiveness during this, through what I'm talking to, write it down. And I want to challenge you to do that, because on the other side of that, God's getting ready to free you. All right? Hebrews 12 and 2 says, actually, let's look at 12 and 1. I'm sorry, Martin, I threw you off back there. 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also compressed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. It said the sin, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. Come Wednesday, I'm going to tell you how to run the race. Today, I'm going to tell you how to lay aside sin and wait. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm moving forward. Now, before I say this, I got to tell you something. How many know God is good? Yes. He made a decision to be good before you ever did anything. God is good because God is good. You're good to people because of what they do to you. God is good because he made a decision to be good. You can act up and cut a fool if you want to. God's still going to be good. With God being good, he does not lie. He cannot lie. It's not within God's possibility to lie. So I'm going to give you two tools that are going to cause immediate reaction in your life. Are you ready to use them? All right. All of us have a race that we got to run with patience. The race is your course in life. We are all giving a time to run it. You don't know where you are on the clock. I would love to make it to 90, 100 years old, but the reality is I may not. Touch your neighbor and say, you don't know how much time is left on your clock. I'm not trying to scare you or anything like that. Oh, God, here we go. No, but none of us know. Jesus could come back tomorrow. So you live every day like it's your last. Imagine this. Imagine living life debt-free. I talked to a gentleman who was debt-free. And, man, he just had a smile on his face that was just unexplainable. I mean, he just didn't have any pressure. Imagine not having to believe God for a miracle every day. You say, God, he's a God of miracles, but you don't need one every day, do you? I mean, you're always in a calamity. You're always in mess. Imagine not having the constant struggle and pressure of life where you got to perform every day. Imagine that. Imagine not having to worry about your past. None of y'all probably got a past in here, so you have nothing to worry about, so I'm probably not talking to you. Well, you can probably open up the door. They can hear this down the street. But imagine not having to worry about your past. Anybody thank God he moves you past that? Imagine not doing well for a while, and then all of a sudden something comes in your path and sets you back two steps when you feel like, man, I took one step forward to take two steps back. Anybody ever feel like that? Anybody get tired of falling for the same stupid stuff? No, it's stupid. You know what it is. You know before you get into it, it's stupid, but you still make a decision to go ahead and do it. This morning, I'm going to show you how to overcome sin, the sin, and wait. The problem is not the race. If I pass this mic, all of us got dreams, we got goals, we got purpose, we got vision. The problem is the weight that is holding us back. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, sin, which does so easily beset us. Now think about this, the stuff you fall for, some of us are easy wins. You lost before you get in the match. Satan knows, he studies you. We live life haphazardly, but Satan is studying you. He knows what you like, he's not going to send you what you do not like. All right? Question. Is your addiction, is procrastination, is fear worth you compromising the integrity of your life? We will all answer no, but most of us are not honest. We keep falling for the same stuff, and we disregard the impact that the weight and the sin have in our life. And the Holy Spirit convicts you of it all. Through confession, the Bible gives us a fail-proof way to overcome sin. Sin is missing the mark. I can pass it. Everybody know what sin is, right? Everybody in here know what sin is. The weight is this. It's fear. It's debt. It's procrastination. Anybody struggle? I'm just going to lift my hands. I don't want to call on the carpet. Procrastination. It's people pleasing. It's laziness. It's making dumb decisions. We're going to let that stuff go this morning. Amen? So let me walk you through what confession is. You go to my first slide. Confession is this. It's to say the same thing as. There's a big fad going through the church where everybody is confessing stuff, naming it and claiming. I confess this. I confess that. You can't confess what God hadn't already spoken. You can't bind what God has not bound. You can't loose what God has not loosed. So I find out what God has said and look at neighbor and say, say that. To confess means this. It means to admit oneself guilty and accused. It's the result of an inward conviction. To confess means to openly declare what's in your heart. Can I tell you, everybody in here? Confession does this. It doesn't blame people, but it takes responsibility for your decisions, your feelings, and your actions. You ever heard somebody say, you make me sick? If you made me sick, I gave you the right to make me sick. You got to own your feelings. Confessing is something you do intentionally. It's not something you are forced to do. You don't expect anybody to read your mind. I know you're talking to your neighbor, but look at them again and say, I'm not anointed to read your mind. Some people are sitting at home mad, upset. Now, they ought to know what I'm going through. I don't know that you're going through unless you tell me. The Lord ought to tell them. I mean, he gave you a mouth. Your phone works. Anybody called me and spoke to me. Can you speak to somebody else? Confession. No, I'm serious. Confession is you going and you opening up. Because here's the thing. Confession requires maturity. It requires admitting I need help. Confession says Jason Scales has value in life. God has something great for this church. God has something great for my life, for my family. And if I don't deal with my issues are going to cost me my destiny. So confession says I need to talk to God and I need to talk to somebody else. So the first step is this. Works every time. You got to confess of sin. Go to 1 John 1 and 9. 1 John 1 and 9. I need you to go there in your Bible with me. 1 John 1 and 9. You probably know this. Have been in church your whole life. But it says, well, you may have never heard the scripture for a day in your life. It still works. If we confess our sin. Watch this. I can't confess your sin. And we do a whole lot of that. They doing this. They doing that. You got to confess your sin. If we confess our sin, say our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you confess, there are four things that happen. There's an action, there's a responsibility, there's a promise, and there's a result. Here's the action. You go to God. Can I tell you something? Don't make God have to come to you. Oh, it's tough when God comes to you. Anybody ever had God come knocking on your door and come to you? I mean, he kept warning you. He kept pugging your heart. He kept saying it. And after a while, God had to come stand up at your front door and you say, oh, you got my attention now. So I go to God and I don't make him have to necessarily come after me. Confession in Romans 10, 8 through 9 says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth and believe with thy heart the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. So confession is done with your mouth. It's an expression of what's in your heart. Step one, your heart has to believe. Your action is prompted by your heart being tugged on by something called conviction. Look at neighbor and say conviction. Conviction is driven by what you believe. It leads to change. This must happen first. We can't change unless we're convicted of something. I am convicted of marriage. I'm convicted that marriage is right. I am convicted that I'm not meant to be broke. Anybody convicted of that? God didn't design me to be broke. I'm convicted I'm not designed to be sick. I'm convicted that I am a success. I'm not supposed to be the tail. I'm supposed to be the head. I am convicted that I am a success already. I am convicted of time. I don't care if one person is here at 9:15 when we start. I honor time. On the back end, I honor time. I have a hard time with people who don't honor my time or theirs. I am convicted. You want to see me really, it takes a lot to get me angry, upset, but you want to see me really get ruffled up? Dishonor time. Tell me you're going to be somewhere and you show up 45 minutes late like it, what? Yeah, watch me. My whole day is off if I can't do something. Me being on time, if it starts at 9:15, I don't arrive at 9:15. I'm convicted of that. My conviction says I got to be here at 8:30. You're convicted of certain things. That's why you got itching when certain stuff happened. You're convicted of a clean house and you walk in and stuff ain't clean. You just get antsy. Some people are convicted. You got to have people articulate that you know that noun. Don't go with that verb. That is not the way it go. Whatever you're convicted of, your actions are driven behind it. Here's the challenge. The church is challenging people to change stuff they're not convicted of. So it takes God. Do right by your wife. Be a father to your kids. If you're not convicted of that, you ain't going to do it. Man, do well in school. Make all A's. Conviction is driven by vision that I see something greater than what I am. That if I don't study now, young people, if you're in college, high school, that dumb ain't cool when I go to get a job and I don't know how to comprehend when I'm going through a training class. It's only cool when I'm hanging out with my buddies. What you doing raising your hand in class and act like you know everything? Can I tell y'all in here, it pays off. It pays off great dividends of being smart in school. It pays off great dividends of saving yourself for marriage. It pays off great dividends saving your money because you're going to get ready to go buy a car and a house one day and they don't want to go through your credit score and you just sitting there praying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. No, it pays great dividends to do things because I'm convicted of this. Some of you going to have a hard time because right now you like the U.S. Cavalry. Charge, American Express, MasterCard. But something going to get in your wrist and say, no, I can't do this. Maybe I need to go and get me a ham and cheese sandwich. Maybe I need to go and eat in tonight. I want to go to Ruth Chris. I want to go to Logan's. And they got a special going on, but special ain't in my budget. Special to me tonight is what I got in my house. There is a conviction that drives you to make change. Am I doing all right in here? The conviction starts in my heart. You can't take from me what's in my heart. I am convicted of what God's spoken over this house. I'm convicted of what God spoke over my family. I don't care if the devil tries whatever he tries. It ain't gonna change my mind because I know what God has spoken. And when you know what God has spoken, you'll stand flat-footed on the word of God and say, that's all you got? That's all you gonna bring? You better become better than that because if God be for me, he's more. And I have any convicted people in the house today? Say, my marriage will work. I am a success. So I'm convicted in my heart. I have believe it in my heart. This confession, I'm talking about to God, that I confess it with my mouth. My heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why you'll hear me talk strange sometimes. You'll get up and say, thank God for our viewing audience. Thank you for tuning in. And ain't a single video, TBN, Word Network, nowhere in the house. Oh, I'm convicted of where we're going. I'll tell the deacons, thank you for what you did across the street. Thank you for the manicured lawn. Thank you. You guys did a wonderful job. Hey, later on at 5 o'clock, we're going to shoot ball in our gym. Ain't a gym out there. But there is a conviction in my heart. And I can tell, even in the midst of calamity, you can do that with your wife. You can send her a text when y'all been arguing all morning. I love you. And tonight's going to be a great night. Y'all been arguing all day. But you convicted that marriage works. And you speak out of the abundance of the heart. You don't declare what you see. You declare what you know. And what you know overtakes what you see. And the next thing you know, you walking in victory. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, can you confess? Hey, look at your neighbor and say, you awake this morning? You awake? You awake? Y'all looking at me strange. All right. Y'all know it's early, but let's go for it. With the heart, confession is made until salvation. Now, that's your action. You got to confess. Here's a responsibility. 1 John 1:9, God has a responsibility in you. Your responsibility, once an action occurs, there's a responsibility to happen. Our responsibility is this. Be honest with God. Yeah. Like he don't know. Right. Like he don't have a clue what we got going on. My telling God is not telling him something new. But it's humility on my part that every time I do wrong, I confess. Can I be honest with you guys in here? Every time you slip up, and man, God, I cuss them out again today. Well, if you do, eventually your repentance is going to lead to change in your life. God, last week, I said that was the last week I would look at porn, and I did it again. Confess it again. The more you confess it, you open up your heart for an exchange to happen. All right? Here's what happens. When I am honest with God, Psalms 51:3, can I show you something? Y'all go there, and I'm going to tell you the backdrop of this story. I want to have you use your Bible this morning, and I got to hear it with my time. Psalm 51:3. Y'all remember David was on when it was time of war, and he was on his balcony, and he saw Bathsheba bathing naked, and he said, I want her. He had a wife. But what he saw was not, what he had was not enough. David said this, Psalm 51:3, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before thee. I want to show you something. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You don't sin against people, you sin against God. Amen. You hurt people. You betray people. But your sin is against God. I don't care what you do for me. I can't forgive you a sin. Okay. I can release you from hurting me. But forgiveness has to come from God. And I have to be honest, God, I hurt you. And when I surrender to God, God does this. He's faithful and just. Faithful means that he is consistent. He's true to his word that every time, you know, they say he's the God of a second chance. I wish we changed that. He's the God just of another chance. Because some of us have had 2, 3, 4, 5, 5,000 affinity plus one chances. But God doesn't change. Anybody thank God for another chance? Yeah. I mean, your second chance was 1984. You weren't even born yet. But some of you, that you ruined that chance then. He's the God of another chance that morning by morning, new mercies you see. Every day is a new mercy. You say, God, I've run out. No, he's got new mercy every day. When wrong is done, somebody's got to pay, right? If somebody broke in your house, messed up your stuff, somebody going to jail. So if somebody did something to your kid, somebody's going to pay, right? Well, when you sin, somebody's got to pay. It's only right, right? It said he's faithful and just. What God does, and I don't understand it, he takes the penalty for your sin and he put it back on Jesus. He said, the sin. Everything that you ever done, I don't understand it. I've done some things that I don't understand why I did it, but God took, because I deserve death. I don't deserve to be in the pulpit right now. God took my sin and threw it on Jesus. And he who knew no sin took my sin, hung there on the cross, and he was wounded for my transgression, not his. My transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity, not his. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I was healed. Has anybody ever seen, who grew up in here with brothers and sisters? And there was a day I woke up in the morning. I told y'all about it before. And my mama, she would wear us out. I ain't had time for a whipping that day. And I had messed up. I didn't. And Jonathan was always in trouble. They never suspected me of being in trouble. I was a sneaky one. And I had messed up. And we were in boy Cub Scouts. And we had them little wooden cars. And I'd been in the house spraying it. And I didn't realize when I was spraying, I was getting the carpet red. And the babysitter said, when you get home, because it was my car, the babysitter said, your mama going to get you. Why would you tell somebody an 8-hour span they don't get a whipping? Just come home. Just drive home from work. Beat me right then. The agony of waiting that whole day. And I said, listen, I ain't got time for whipping today. I'm going to tell them. No, I ain't do it. Jonathan did it. He couldn't get out. He always doing stuff. God rest his soul. My mama came home and she said, listen, Jonathan, you look like you did it. She wore him out. And let me tell you something. While he was in there getting a whipping, because you know you had thin walls, you could hear everything, I was cringing on the inside. And he looked at me in the eyes, and I looked at him, and I had a tear come out my eye because I knew he took something that I did. You got to think about that every time you do something. God's taking the penalty for something you did. Don't they tear you up on the inside like, I did it. He didn't do it. I did it. But when you confess your sin, God throws it on Jesus because he's just. Somebody has to pay. And he removes the penalty of sin. And he lets you see his mercy. So Hebrews 4:16 says, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. God, I jacked up my credit. Come get mercy. I'll change your heart and tell you how to do things right without cheating people. God, I'm the one that messed up. I made a mistake. I caused this high blood pressure. I caused these diseases. I caused these things. He was wounded for your transgression, bruised for iniquity. And by your stripes, you are healed. You mean I can take it? Yes, it's free. God did it for all of us. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus paid it all. Y'all right in here. Go to James 2. I've been studying something in my private time, and I'll just let you in. There's a scripture that I was studying this week. It tore me up. Because we are hard on people. Everybody else's sin is big except for ours. When you do something, y'all forgive me. Y'all know I'm crazy. Y'all know I'm controlling. And you know I got a temper. Somebody else fly. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's why people hurt today. James 2:12, it says this. It said James after Hebrews. You don't know what Hebrews is in the New Testament somewhere. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. You are judged by the law of liberty. I'm not giving you a license to sin, but I'm saying if you sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. James 2:13 says, for ye shall have judgment without mercy to them who you show, if you have showed people no mercy. I hear people all the time, they're preachers, they're pastors who fall. And before I opened my mouth, the Lord said, you better shut yours. Because you never know when, God forbid, you're going to need mercy. Does restoration need to happen? Yes. But you got to be careful who you put in your mouth on, because you don't know where you have been and who covered you and where you're going to be. So it said, to those who have shown no mercy, they will see no mercy. But it says this, mercy rejoiceth against judgment, meaning mercy triumphs over judgment. Meaning there were some things that should have happened. there were some things that could happen. But Ty Tribbett said it best, God turned it. Mercy is God turning what should have been. Mercy is God, not God approving what you did. It's God saying, I know you learned the lesson. Now watch this. Some people say, don't judge me by my past. Your past is not your past if it's a current reality. Your past is your past if you're not doing it anymore. But God said mercy for those who have changed. Can I just take a break for a moment? Does anybody thank God for mercy? That when Satan wanted to destroy your life, God said mercy. When the things were about to fall apart, you just threw a fell on your knees and God said, I plead the mercy of the court. And God stayed the hand of the enemy. Some of you sitting here happily married right now, but you know the truth be told, you don't deserve happiness. You don't deserve to come home to a drama-free house to all the stuff you did. But God somehow wiped your slate clean. And can I tell y'all single folks in here, don't sow nothing y'all don't want to reap. Your obedience to God, watch this, when you really repent, there were some things that God, watch this, he won't take you out of, he'll take you through just so you'll learn the lesson. But mercy says you're going to come out like the three Hebrew boys. I've been through the fire, but I don't smell like smoke. Is there anybody in here that said, I've been through the storm and the rain, but I ain't wet? I don't smell like smoke. Yes, I had to go through some things because sin may not get me out of grace with God when I repent, but it'll sure unravel your life. There were some things that I caused in my life that God walked me through, but I stand here today. I am restored. I am forgiven. I am free. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Are y'all right? So he said, action, you confess, responsibility, God faithful and just. Here's the promise. He said, I'll forgive you of sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Sin is what you actually did. Unrighteousness is why you did it. It ain't enough for God to get you. God, if you get me out of this crazy relationship, he'll get you out. But if unrighteousness ain't done, you'll get yourself right back into another one. You'll get yourself right back in debt. You'll get yourself right back into a crazy situation if you don't have an exchange and God get a hold of your heart. Here's the result of confession to God so you can run. You repent. Repentance is something that happens when God gets a hold of your heart. A lot of us are sorry, but we ain't repented. I'm not trying to preach hard. I go through the same stuff. I am sorry that I have debt. I am sorry that I should be further along in life. But repentance said I'm going to do something different. Repentance says I need a new set of instruction. Anybody ever looked at your life and said, this stuff ain't working? I've been trying all this stuff. Can I ask some of y'all here, how is cussing folks out working? How is robbing Peter to pay Paul? How's it working for you? How is judging and being critical of everybody work? It ain't working. Repentance is saying, God, show me what works, and I would follow it. Through confession, there's an exchange that made. I take his mercy and grace for my sin. And that's what God wants some of us to do this morning. He said, I want an exchange to happen. Repentance happens when God changes your life. And can I be honest? Some of us in here are genuinely sorry. Be honest with me. Any of y'all ever went through something and it was, you just got flat foot. It was just rough on you. You cried. You broke down. God, you got my attention. I will never, just bless me to never get back. And that lasted for about a month. No, I'm serious. I remember after my brother passed away with his heart condition, I went to the doctor. I got on high blood pressure medicine. I was eating good for about a year. Well, no, it wasn't even a year. And then when that fear wore off, you got right back. You forgot how miserable sin was. You forgot how miserable that situation, and you sit there riding. Some days you have flashbacks. That's why change is not an emotion. Change is a decision to receive and exchange what God has done for what you've done. Is there anybody here that said, I don't want to go back? I got urges. I'm real. I got some things. I got some real issues. Anybody got some real issues in here? I'm not talking about a headache and you can take a leave for. I'm talking about you got some deep-rooted stuff. You look cute on the outside, but you know that somebody pushed you the wrong way. Brother man, sister girl, everybody just come out you. You still, you save, you love your wife and you love God, but you got to push that player down that's still on the inside of you because it still comes out. You still know how to flirt. You still know how when you smell good just to walk slow in the room. You got a haircut. You know what it means to wash your car and you pull up at the thing and roll that window down just halfway. I want to let them see what's in here. I want to let them, do I still got it? And you got to fight with that thing. And it has, watch this. Your issue has nothing to do with the people you're connected with. It don't. The fact that you have woman problems has nothing to do with your wife. The fact that you have man problems has nothing to do with your husband. The fact that you have a temper problem has nothing to do with the person who made you mad. You got buttons that were there before you ever met that person that you got to learn how to deal with. And when I repent, I realize I got buttons and I got to deal with them. And don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, you got issues too. But look at him and say, but God, but God. When you repent, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Man, if I was in a Baptist church, I'd get my cadence going on about right there. And I say, good evening, children. Yes. I'm glad today. All right, you got to confess to God. One. Now, y'all not free yet. Could we get this thing right with God? But we got to get this thing right with people. Now, next slide, you got to confess your weight and fault to people. Was that in the scripture? Was that in Hebrews 12 and 2? They said, let us lay aside every weight and sin. Yeah. Go to James 5 and 16. James 5 and 16. You were just in James 2. James 5, my time is getting away. I'll read this. James 5 and 16 says this. If you confess your faults, a weight is a fault. It ain't necessarily sin, but it's holding your life back. And if you do a wait long enough, it'll open up the door to some things that will disqualify you. It said, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A weight is an encumbrance. It is a fault, is an issue. It's something that hinders you. It's something that holds you back. To get rid of faults, confession with people is key. Confessing a fault, hear me when I say this. You can talk to me all day long, but unless you repent to God, our talking is in vain. It comes after repentance to God. Confession should come after repentance, and it's proactive. People shouldn't have to find you, call you on the carpet, catch you in a lie before you finally say, I'm wrong. Confession, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Confession is admittance. Watch this, and it ain't going into the full details. It's saying, I got issues. I got character problems. I owe you money. You ain't got to tell them I've spent on this and that. I'm sorry I didn't pay you. What scares many of us is the details, and the details are reserved between you and God. You can go as deep as you want, but the problem is the situation that's bigger than that, what you're dealing with right there. You got root issues that are bigger than what you're dealing with. Oh, man, I paid them money, and I borrowed money, and I do it all the time, and I didn't pay them back, and now I'm acting funny with them, and I know I'm wrong. I'm late, and now I'm mad at everybody else when they ask me about being late. The problem is not being late. It's a character issue. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a character issue on the side of them, so it's not really that situation. It's something deeper that confession is about. And confession is not manipulating people with what's going on with you. You all know what's going on. I thought people as close to me as you would already know what's going on. That's manipulation. Touch your neighbor again. Say, I'm not anointed to read your mind. You have to tell me. With confession, anybody ever really honestly just, you found somebody you could trust, and after you got through talking, you felt like 10 pounds had been lifted off of you. That's actually spiritual, because it's getting things off of you, and so the exchange can happen. So the action is this. You go to a person, and don't expect them to read your mind. What's going to happen is they're going to help you identify the lies in your life that is bigger than that situation. The lies are a result of mistakes that you've made. So watch this. A person can watch his mom and dad get divorced, and a lie can sit up in his life because he can form an opinion that's not true about that situation. You can watch your mom and dad get divorced, and you can hear them arguing all the time, and you can be of the opinion that all women nag and they fuss all the time, and that's the reason why my parents got a divorce. But the reality is the fussing was a symptom of something deeper. You see how a lie can get started. You can get fired from one job and get labeled, and you can accept that label, and for the rest of your life, you go into an interview apologizing. They have no idea what you've done in times past because you believe the lie. When you confess, you open yourself up to hear the truth. Are y'all in here with me? So the action is that you begin to talk and you find somebody. The responsibility is this. You got to acknowledge openly, and I got to park right here for a minute and really talk, because the hardest thing for many of us to do is open up. I have to stand and admit I am a prideful person. I'm a very private person. I don't want people in my business. So it feels like you pulling my teeth with no Novocaine when I have to. It's fine for me to preach to you. I can listen to you all day long. Tell me everything going on. We can open up the word of God. I can get spiritual. We can get a word from God. I can walk you through. But there's a different story when I gotta actually find somebody and talk myself. Y'all probably don't know anything about that. You can listen to people talk all day long because you deep and spiritual. You the old spiritual one. You got all the scripture. I mean, you like you walked across the Red Sea with Moses and them or something. You were there when Jesus died and they rolled him out the tomb and angels. He ain't there. You weren't even there. You all spiritual and you got issues. But it's hard for many of us to go and say, I got some stuff going on. I'm not talking about, watch this. Confession is being honest about where you are. It's not venting your venomous anger on somebody. I'm angry. I'm upset. I just need to cuss and get all this stuff out. That's not confession, because your anger is a symptomatic of something deeper. You're scared. You don't want to be taken advantage of. Confession is saying I'm angry because I'm scared. I don't want to be taken advantage of. And that just disengages all that venomous stuff you putting out. Am I doing all right in here? This is not necessarily the details of what happened. It's the impact of things and the character flaws that are exposed. Confession is opening up without defending yourself. You ever say this, man, I'm sorry for doing that, but I wouldn't have done it if. You can't just let it be what it is. Confession is just not hiding behind religion. I'm going through a tough time right now. I spent all my money. You know, I messed up on my job, but God gonna bring me out. I know I don't need nobody, God. I got faith in God. Don't hide behind religion. God will bring you out, but there's a method to him doing it. You done tried that hiding behind spirituality, because when we say God said, everybody shuts up because I can't argue with God. Don't hide behind that. You come out and reveal and let God deal with you and let somebody else deal with you. Y'all right in here? Confession is not trying to paint yourself in a light prettier than what you are. It's opening up so an exchange can happen. It's admitting I got struggles. I got the world in front of me, but man, let me be honest. Can I tell you a whole lot of stuff becomes big before it becomes big? You can nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife would say, when it's small. I got to be honest, dude. I have this just thing just lingering in my head. And somebody will help you say, that thought ain't yours. It's a thought the enemy put in your mind and you owned it. God ain't going to tell you to go out and kill nobody. God ain't going to tell you to do nothing crazy. God ain't going to tell you this. God's going to give you a thought of peace. You're meditating on the thought that Satan gives you. Now watch this. It says you confess your faults one to another. Can I clarify this? Everybody ain't one of them another's. There's some folks you done confessed to. They weren't in here. They were not in that scripture. They were not one of them another's. Now, the Bible told you who one of the other was. It said, and you will be healed. It said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. The another's are righteous people. People who are trusted and in right standing with God. So I can confess to somebody who's in right standing with God, because what happens with a lot of us, you confess to cosigners. And them cosigners validate what you feel instead of telling you the truth. Man, they going crazy. They hold me back on my job. They know I need to get promoted. They know I need a raise. The cosigner, that's right. You know, you smart. You've been smart since we were young. No. Mm-mm. The one another tell you, I'll tell you why you're not getting promoted. You probably ain't going to want to hear this. You want to hear the truth? It's because every time somebody come to you, you snappy. People don't like working with you because it's either your way or the highway. You shut down when things don't go your way. You want me to be honest about this? And the Bible said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Let me tell you something. I got checked on something once. I've been through things in church, just like most of you have. And I made them bigger than what they were out of some experiences I had. And I was sharing it with my pastor. And I was in tears. Man, you know, I was hurt. I'm disappointed. I felt like I put my life on the line, on hold. And I felt like I was taken advantage of. And I was ready for him to come in and pray the prayer healing and deliverance. And God deliver Jason so he can be what he's called me to be. You know what he looked at me and did? He said, you know that hurt is a stronghold in your life, right? Man, I want to pick the table up. What you mean I'm hurting and you're going to tell me I got a stronghold? It was. I was using that as a crutch not to move on. And I was using that as a reason not to trust people. And he said, I'm going to kick the crutch out because you're healed. There are a lot of people healed and you're still walking on that crutch. Because you're addicted to pain and you're addicted to the attention that you get when you're going through. So God said, I want to kick the crutch out. I want to get you off the pain medicine. I want to get you out there and let you use what I've done. So he called me on the carpet and said, that's a stronghold in your life. I hear you up there preaching about God can do anything but fail. I can do all things through Christ. He said, use that and get over this. Best conversation I ever had. I didn't like him. Matter of fact, when he called me for a week, I didn't speak to him. But I knew he was telling the truth. I knew he was telling the truth. I knew when he told me. Anybody have somebody tell you something and it's like hit you right in your gut? And you ain't want to hear it, but you knew it was the truth. And if you applied it to your life would change. Aren't you tired of listening to people just patting you on your back, crying with you? It's all right? Watch this. When you are one another, I can't tell you how to feel. I can't. I can't tell you. You shouldn't be upset about that. You can be upset about whatever you want to. That's your feelings. But I can tell you how to move forward. How you feel is your prerogative. One another's help you to move forward when you confess. And watch what happens. Here's the promise. If you confess, you'll be healed. When you begin to open up, God's going to heal you. When you begin to really be honest, don't talk about the situation. Own it. What are you feeling? My daddy wasn't there. Okay, you are 50. He's not going to ride you down the street with a bike, with a helmet and little gloves on. He's not going to take you to play kickball. It's not going to happen. How are you feeling? I feel abandoned. We can deal with that. I feel rejected. We can deal with that. Because you can make somebody who is forgiven pay for the rest of their life for something they did years ago. God said, I want you to confess and deal with what's going on. I can help you with the first part this morning, but the second part's on you. I can help you get right with God. And I guarantee you, when you make an exchange and when you confess to God, you guys play softly, God will get it together. And the thing that you're dreading, I guarantee you, mercy will come in and turn it. God will walk you through what you have to deal with. There's an exchange he wants to happen. Some of you don't realize that the very thing that you're holding on to is what's holding you back. Not that you're not talented or gifted. The second part, you got to do that. You got to go find somebody you trust and be honest and do some confession. I'm not talking about airing all your dirty laundry. God, I did this. I'm not talking about that. Listen, I got some anger issues. I have some lust issues. What you doing? What you looking at? What site you going to? You went to that one too. It's not all of that. It's being honest about this is where I'm at. And the person who is another, a righteous person, will look beyond the situation and get to the thing. You got an attention problem. You do what you do because you don't like being by yourself. And help you get to a place of wholeness. I want you to stand to your feet. God, I apologize. I honor time and sorry to go for going beyond my time. But y'all give me a little forgiveness in here? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I want every person in here who be honest. I don't care if you're from the back all the way to the door back here. And you say, I need to make an exchange. I need to confess some things to God. I sinned against him. I'm caught up in traps that these are, I'm sorry, but I need to repent. I need God to change me. And can I tell you about religion? Religion will look at folks when they come forward and say, wonder what they're doing. It ain't none of your business. Because that's your problem right there. You looking instead of looking inside. Confession is being honest with God and being broken and say, God, I got a destiny, I got a purpose, and I want my issues to cause me to compromise my destiny. If that's you in here, you say, God, I need to confess and get some things right. I want you to lift both your hands up from wherever you are. All right. And if you want to lay it on the altar, I want you to come from wherever you are. I'm already saved, but now you can confess. He's faithful and just. You can be a saint with sinner problems. How do I know? I got to confess. Come on, y'all spread out across this thing. I got a problem with pride, God. Can't anybody tell me nothing. My anger, temper, and it ain't cute. It's robbing me. I hold stuff. I don't let stuff go. I'm still mad at my first grade teacher. I'm hiding behind my title. I'm hiding behind religion. I'm hiding behind my past accomplishments and what I think I am. I want you to, I'm going to lead you in the prayer of repentance. Father, repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe your word. I am here today to confess I have sinned. Father, I need you to be faithful and just. Forgive me of sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I accept Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I'm set free. I'm ready for the exchange. Get a hold of my heart. Turn my heart right now in Jesus' name. Father, I don't want to be back in this place again. Anoint me to move forward in Jesus' name. Lift your hands and talk to God. Father, we repent. I'm not a victim. I got power. And I confess my sin. I don't have to give in to every urge. God, forgive me. I hurt you. In the name of Jesus.
You have been listening to a life-changing message from Believers Faith Fellowship in Christiana, Tennessee, where Jason Scales is the pastor. Let us connect with you. Please visit us at bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org. Define your destiny. Develop in your purpose. Discover your potential. Come experience life in 3D at Believers Faith Fellowship.